This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com.
Hello, this is John Bucher. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Oberlin College, and today I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Brett Ingerman. He's the Vice President for Computing and Information Services at Vassar College. Thanks for joining us today, Brett.
My pleasure, John.
Good to have you here with us. You're giving a talk here at EDUCAUSE on desktop security methodologies. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the current challenges in that area that keep you awake at night? And what do you think these issues will be like in 3 to 5 years? Let's take the global view first.
Okay. You know, desktop security and I guess security in general is becoming more of interest to those of us in small schools given the explosion of devices that we no longer control. So as you start thinking about people bringing their own desktops, doing work from home, being more nomadic, it just seemed like the time was right to give more serious thought to this before having a breach that would be horrible to deal with. And at the same time, technology has conspired to make it easier than ever to do this. So what we've decided to do at Vassar is to look at a bunch of solutions that are out there that represent either best practices or new practices and put them all together into one package. And I think as we go forward, the challenge is going to be to take what we're doing on campus and convince people it's important enough for them to do at home and on their own devices as they go out and continue to use our data, just not on from our machines.
Now, so you're employing a broad spectrum of desktop technologies and policies.
We are. It's a combination of all of those. And we think we're becoming successful because we're talking about it broadly on campus so that it's not an IT initiative, but it's an institution's initiative, the institution's initiative to make people more aware that this data is important. And it's not just the student data. In many cases, it's data about our employees as well.
How are you getting this job done? I mean, how are you communicating this? Posters? Forums?
Forums. We have an administrator forum once a month. We have a faculty meeting once a month. And the morning of the faculty meeting, we have an administrator forum. So we've used that as a venue to share this information, talk in as many committees as we possibly can. I'm a member of the senior staff, so it's easy to talk with the other senior officers about what the issues are and why it's important to us. And one of the things I say is, if you can't get their attention that this is important, you can just show them newspaper headlines about what happens when don't pay attention to this issue.
Are you getting any pushback?
Pushback. No, I think people want to do the right thing, but I think they only want to do it if we make it easy and transparent for them. So encrypting a desktop computer or laptop computer is great when all they have to do is enter a single password and the rest is just taken care of for them.
Right.
If we have to make them think about it, chances are good they've got other ways they'd rather spend their time and other things they'd rather think about.
Is anybody objecting to any kind of mandates, or do you have any mandates to?
That's an interesting question. On the faculty side, much like other schools, mandates is a difficult thing to do.
Right.
But we've explained to faculty issues of why they would want to do this to keep their data secure. You know, thank goodness some of the professional organizations and granting agencies are asking that the faculty tighten up their control of human data in particular. And on the administrative side, while we can mandate, we're finding that when we present the staff with tools and show them how to use it, they love it. So, for example, we have a tool that actually scans your hard drive for personally identifiable information, credit cards, social security numbers, et cetera. In the abstract, people go, I don't have that stuff. You install it on their machine, and you look, and they go, holy cow, I have 247 social security numbers. What's that from? And you go and look, and it turns out it's an email attachment from 6 years ago that no one ever cleaned up, that they may have received, they may have been CC'd on a file that came through. But it's like, wow, I didn't realize we had this.
Now you and I are colleagues, and we see each other a couple times a year at meetings. And I know from our conversation last summer that you bought a site license for some software, didn't you?
We did. We bought a site license for the tool to look for personally identifiable information. We have bought a site license for desktop encryption. And we have bought a site license for a campus-wide backup solution because the flip side of securing the data is making sure the data is secure from inadvertent loss. So, you know, while we have file servers that we encourage people to save their files on, we know that a lot of stuff happens on the local drives.
I'm impressed that you use some of your financial resources to do that. I mean, clearly it has become a priority item for you.
Well, the disaster recovery, the backup is an interesting story. We do modeling for crisis preparedness, and so we do these tabletop exercises once a month. One of the tabletop exercises said, assume our main building became inaccessible. Fire raised through the building, can no longer get in, so admissions and financial aid can't go back to their offices. And our president was fairly new at the time, and she said, well, from a technology standpoint, that shouldn't be an issue, right? Because everything they have is stored on file servers. Well, not exactly. They keep a lot of working documents on their own local hard drives. And if they're not backed up and they now can't get into the building and it's admission season, that's a real problem. So it was easy to step back and say, we do need to find a way to deal with this. But it was having a group of administrators together, modeling a crisis that could be real, for all of a sudden for us to have the big mirror aim back at us and saying, maybe we're not as secure as we think.
So you, through that, those meetings, that meeting process, you actually made things tangible for administrators, and they could back it up. They could back up your plan.
It became real. As opposed to reading something in the paper about another school, this gave them the chance to say, what if it happened here in a real scenario, a fire in a building, which, you know, hopefully doesn't happen, but it's something people can imagine.
Now, let's also talk about one of the biggest challenges today, and that's mobile devices, security on mobile devices. What are your thoughts about that? What actions are you taking? Have you got any magic for us?
I wish. I mean, it's hard enough to get people to realize to simply put passcodes on their smartphones. You know, I'm hoping the vendors help us here. I think having solutions that allow us to not only have better security on mobile devices, but to know the mobile devices are secure is what's key. For example, if we're going to secure a laptop, it doesn't suffice for breach notification for a variety of states if you can't prove that the laptop was encrypted. Saying it was encrypted doesn't suffice for most attorneys general if you have a loss.
So if a laptop was lost, you'd still have to identify the people whose information was made available?
You would, and in some states require you to notify the residents of their states if their data has been inadvertently lost or exposed.
And you can't just say it was encrypted.
No, but if you can prove it's encrypted, most states will limit the amount of notification you need to do if you can prove it. So with an end user device, we're now looking at companies, we're looking at one right now, that is working on providing an enterprise way of reporting that iPhones, Androids, iPads, tablets have been encrypted with passcodes or have been encrypted so that we can report back and say, yep, the device was secured. It's minor. It's not as strong as what you get on a laptop or a desktop, but it's a step in the right direction.
You think you're going to pull that off in the next year or so?
I think so. The vendor we're looking at is spending a lot of time at this, and another area that's become one of concern are people using these online file storage solutions like Dropbox or Box.net, where they're not inherently very secure. By nature, right? It's about collaboration and sharing. So we're working with a vendor that also has a solution in the works for that too, to actually encrypt and store data in the cloud so that you don't have to trust the cloud provider to do it. You can know it's been done and you can know when it's been done.
You know, at Vassar, you seem to be kind of ahead of the curve on this. I don't hear this story from a lot of other small liberal arts colleges. What's the thing that got you excited about this challenge?
That's a good question. I think what we've done is we've listened well. Most of the things we're doing, I've picked up at in reading, at conferences like EDUCAUSE, and other group meetings where we gather, professionals gather. And what I started to do was keep note of what School X is doing. And, oh, that's really interesting about School Y. Well, I didn't think about what School Z has done. So I started going through my notes and said, well, you know, there's a really nice package here of little things that individual schools are doing that if we just put it all together, it makes a nice story so that if we're going to make a change on campus and tell people this is important, I don't say, well, this is important on Monday. And then on Thursday, well, you know what? This is also important. Then a week from Tuesday, oh, don't forget this. The idea was let's put a bunch of things together and get a big publicity push out and say, these are important.
Brett, thanks a lot. I very much appreciate talking to you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
John, always a pleasure.
Thanks.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts. Or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.